Hirakava. This kina is based on Medrash Eicha, where it tells the story that right after the Chorban, right after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a father without children. And he called over Yirmiyahu and told him to go wake the Abbos and asked them to daven, to open their hearts and hopefully inspire my rachamim to bring my children home. So Yirmiyahu goes to the Maras Machpelah, brings forth Abram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. He also finds Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm not sure where he is, but he finds him as well. And they go to the Makom HaMikdash. They go for themselves to see the Korban. And they cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, what happened to all the schios that we have? What happened to all the promises that you made us? What's happening to our children? And despite the passion, despite the sincerity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not appeased. So then Yirmiyahu brought forth the Imamos, led by Rachel Imenu. And specifically because of her, Rachel Mavaka Abaneha, Hashem said, okay, I heard enough. You can go back to sleep. I'm going to bring your children home. I'm going to bring my children home. So the question is, what was the specific schus of Rachel? That was the tipping point. We're talking about tzaddikim. We're talking about the avos, the imos, so many schuyos. Why dafka her? Shusarav, I want to suggest Rachel Imenu had a unique challenge. It really pushed her to her limits when it came to the trickery of her father. As we know, Yaakov had worked 7 long years in order to marry her. And they knew that Laban HaRasha was a trickster and he was going to try something. And they made up simanim to ensure that they could fulfill their destiny and their mission in this world to join together as one. And Rachel had every right in the world to go through with the plan. We're meant to be together. We can't let Laban HaRasha run our lives. Leah would understand. Every rationalization, every justification was there. But she still chose someone else's feelings, someone else's dignity, a sensitivity to someone else's busha, was more important to her than her own wants, her own needs, her own hopes, and her own dreams. So there is something that you really want. If there's a tefillah that you've really been hoping for, this is a formula to put someone else before ourselves, to think about Hashem's children, to think about what can I do for them, to be sensitive to their needs, to their wants, to their dignity. But it's really a 1-2 punch. It's not just Avas Yisrael of loving and caring for our fellow brothers and sisters, but it's specifically when there's a challenge that makes it that much more worthwhile. Lefum Sara Agra. I've heard something incredible from Ray Jacobson a few times. He shared this yesod, really a life-changing yesod. He said, if there's an area that you're struggling in, there's an area of Avodas Hashem that is difficult, that is challenging, that you find you keep brushing up to it again and again, it keeps resurfacing, you keep falling a little bit short, almost to the point of yayish. He said, it could be that's the very purpose for which you were created. If there's an area in our lives that we find that we just keep struggling with, and we're really just tempted to work on something else because it's so hard and so frustrating and disappointing, it could be that's why we're created. It could be that's why we're here. It could be that that's our purpose in this world, to be misaken that very midah, that very challenge. Now, a person might say, okay, look, I tried, I've struggled, I've worked on it, and it's just not working. Am I really the one holding up the Mashiach? I mean, there are so many sinners out there, there are so many other people out there who are clearly not doing the right thing. It's really on me, it's my fault that we still have the terrorist bombings and the stabbings and the sin in the world, my fault? And the answer very well might be yes. I'm going to close with one extraordinary story I heard from a relative of mine who was also my moel, the Pesach Kron. He shared that in the 1950s, there was a great musician, Arturo Toscanini, who was known worldwide for his gift of music. And towards the end of his life, a biographer was hired to interview him and sort of tell the story of this extraordinary musician. And after one of their inspiring sessions, the biographer asked him, tomorrow night, we're meeting again? And Toscanini said, no, tomorrow night we can't meet. Tomorrow night I'm booked, I'm committed. He says, well, what's happening tomorrow night? He says, tomorrow night, one of the orchestras that I used to lead is performing in a different country, and I'm going to be hearing it on shortwave radio. I don't know what shortwave radio is, which I guess it's the former version of live streaming. So I'm going to hear it on shortwave radio, and I don't want to be disturbed. I want to focus on that music. I just want to be mesmerized. The biographer said, well, I'd love to be there to watch that. Can I just sit by your side and just observe and absorb? He says, no, I can't risk being disturbed. I have to be totally focused on the music. He said, look, I won't make a sound. I won't make a sound. I'll just sit there quietly minding my own business. So he says, fine. If you're absolutely quiet, you can come. So the next night, 8 o'clock, the concert starts. And he sees that Toscanini is mesmerized, he is so focused on the music. An hour later, 9 o'clock, the concert comes to an end. And the biographer says, wow, wasn't that amazing? Wasn't that incredible? And Toscanini says, no, it was terrible. He says, what do you mean it was terrible? What are you talking about? Why do you think it was terrible? He says, well, there was supposed to be 120 musicians, and I could tell there were only 119. They were missing one of the 15 violinists, only 14 violinists there. Very disappointing. So the biographer is saying to himself, like, this guy's crazy. He doesn't want to say anything because he doesn't want to lose his job. But he's thinking this guy's very haughty and clearly out of his mind. But the next day, perhaps an exercise in futility, the biographer calls up the music director from that country and asks him, just curious, how many musicians were supposed to be at the concert last night and how many showed up? He said, I'm going to have to check the record. He goes, checks the book, says, oh, it was supposed to be 120 musicians. Oh, only 119 came. I see we're missing one of the 15 violinists. The biographer's in shock. He runs over to Tuscany and says, I have to admit, I was skeptical when you made that claim last night. How did you notice that you were missing one of the musicians? And specifically a violinist. And Tuscany said, you know, there's a big difference between me and you. You're part of the audience, and for the audience to hear music, it's a little better, it's a little worse. You don't notice the small details. But for the conductor, I know every note. I know every instrument. I know every musician. And I know when something is missing. My friends, we are all musicians in Hashem's symphony. We are all creating musical notes with our mitzvos, with our midos, with our Abbas Yisrael. And if we think to the areas that we're struggling with, and again, each person has to think to themselves, what's my specific topic, my specific challenge? Maybe it's how I treat the person next to me on the highway or the person next to me in shul. Or maybe it's lack of sensitivity to a parent or to a sibling or to a neighbor who, of course, deserved it because what they did to me. Maybe a spouse. Maybe it's a coworker or an employer or an employee. Maybe it's those who are pro-reform or those who are anti-reform. Maybe it's the guy that davens too slow or the guy that davens too fast. The guy that learns too loudly or too quietly. None of us are perfect. We all have room for improvement. But if we can search within ourselves to try to come back to that big challenge that we're facing. Not to give up. To put in our efforts. To become the best us that we could be. To play our musical notes as they were meant to be played. Then we could truly experience the symphony of the Levium singing in the Beis HaMikdash. To get to that day that all our life we've been waiting for, we've been praying for. Simcha le'artzecha v'sason le'irecha tzvichas keren l'david avdecha v'arichas ne'le v'yishai meshichecha v'mehera v'yameinu. Kina 26.